physicists. By Friedrich Dürrenmatt. Translated by James Kirkup.
All right if I smoke, Matron?
It's not usual.
I beg your pardon.
A cup of tea?
No brandy.
Inspector, you're in a medical establishment.
Then nothing. What was the nurse's name?
Irene Straub.
Age?
22. From Kolbam.
Relatives?
A brother in Liechtenstein.
Informed?
By telephone.
The murderer?
Please, Inspector. The poor man, ill, you know.
Well, the assailant.
Ernst Heinrich Ernesti. We call him Einstein.
Why?
Because he thinks he is Einstein.
Strangled?
Quite definitely. These madmen often have gigantic reserves of strength. It's phenomenal.
Oh, is that so? This is the second murder.
Please, Inspector.
The second accident within 3 months in the medical establishment known as Les Cerisiers. On the 12th of August, a certain Herbert Georg Beuter, who believes himself to be the great physicist Sir Isaac Newton, strangled Dorothea Moser, a nurse, and in this very room. If they'd had male attendants, such a thing would never have happened.
Do you really think so?
I do.
Nurse Moser was a member of the League of Lady Wrestlers, and Nurse Straub was ladies' champion of the National Judo Association.
And what about you?
Weightlifter.
I'd like to see the murderer.
Please, Inspector.
I mean the assailant.
He's playing his fiddle.
Doing what?
Can't you hear him?
Then kindly request him to stop. I have to ask him some questions.
Definitely not.
Why not?
We cannot allow it. On medical grounds. Herr Ernesti has to play his fiddle and play it now.
But damn it, the man's just strangled a nurse.
Inspector, he's not just any man, but a sick man who needs calming down. And because he thinks he's Einstein, he can only calm down when he's playing the fiddle.
Can I be going mad?
No.
I'm getting confused. Now, Matron Boll, kindly fetch the doctor in charge.
Quite out of the question. The Fräulein Doktor is accompanying Einstein on the piano. Einstein can only calm down when the Fräulein Doktor plays his accompaniment.
And 3 months ago, the Fräulein Doktor had to play chess with Sir Isaac Newton to calm him down. We can't have any more of this, Matron. I simply must speak to the doctor in charge.
Certainly.
Thank you.
But you'll have to wait.
How long is this row going to last?
15 minutes. An hour. It all depends.
Very well. I'll wait. I'll wait.
Sir Isaac Newton.
Inspector Foss.
I'm so glad. I'm really very glad. I heard a noise in here, groans and gurglings, and then people coming and going. May I inquire just what's been going on?
Nurse Straub was strangled.
What? The ladies' champion of the National Judo Association?
The ladies' champion.
Oh, that's gruesome.
By Ernst Heinrich Ernesti.
But he's playing the fiddle.
He has to calm himself down.
The tussle must have taken it out of him. He's rather highly strung, poor boy. How did he...
With the cord of the standard lamp.
The cord of the standard lamp?
Mm.
Yes, that's another possibility. Mm. Oh, poor Ernesti. I'm sorry for him. I'm truly sorry. And I'm sorry for the ladies' judo champion, too, of course. How on earth could anyone bring himself to strangle a nurse?
I believe you strangled one yourself.
Did I?
Nurse Dorothea Moser.
What? The lady wrestler?
On the 12th of August. With the curtain cord.
But that was something quite different, Inspector. I'm not mad, you know. Dorothea Moser. Let me cast my mind back. Blonde hair, enormously powerful, and yet, despite her bulk, very flexible. She loved me and I loved her. It was a dilemma that could only be resolved by the use of a curtain cord.
Dilemma?
My mission is to devote myself to the problems of gravitation, not the physical requirements of a woman.
Quite.
And then there was this tremendous difference in our ages.
Granted. You must be well on the wrong side of 200.
How do you mean?
Well, being Sir Isaac Newton...
Are you out of your mind, Inspector? Are you just having me on?
Now, look.
Do you really think I'm Sir Isaac Newton?
Well, don't you?
Inspector, look. May I tell you a secret in confidence?
Of course.
I am not Sir Isaac Newton. I only pretend to be Sir Isaac Newton.
What for?
So as not to confuse poor Ernesti.
I don't get it.
You see, unlike me, Ernesti is really sick. He thinks he's Albert Einstein.
But what's that got to do with you?
Well, if Ernesti would find out that I am the real Albert Einstein, all hell would break loose.
Do you mean to say...
I do. I am he, the celebrated physicist and discoverer of the theory of relativity, born March the 14th, 1879, in the city of Ulm. It is I.
How do you do?
Just call me Albert.
And you may call me Richard.
Ah, oh, good. Yes, I could give you a Kreutzer sonata with a good deal more dash than Ernesti. The way he plays the andante is simply barbarous. Simply barbarous.
I don't understand anything about music.
Richard.
Yes, Albert?
You're cross, aren't you? Because you can't arrest me.
But Albert...
Is it because I strangled the nurse that you want to arrest me? Or because it was I who paved the way for the atomic bomb?
But Albert...
Look, when you move that switch by the door, what happens, Richard?
The light goes on.
Yes, you establish an electrical contact. Do you understand anything about electricity, Richard?
I am no physicist.
I don't understand much about it either. All I do is to elaborate a theory about it on the basis of natural observation. And then the engineers take over. But they don't understand anything except formulae. And they treat electricity as a pimp treats a whore. They just use it. They build their machines. And a machine can only be used when it becomes independent of the knowledge that led to its invention. And so, any fool nowadays can switch on a light or touch off the atomic bomb. And that's what you want to arrest me for, Richard, isn't it? Well, it's not fair. It is not fair. It is not...
But I don't want to arrest you, Albert.
Only because you think I'm mad. But if you don't understand anything about electricity, why don't you refuse to turn on the light? Eh? It's you who are the criminal, Richard. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Albert.
Richard. You're the one who should be arrested.
He has calmed down. In the end, he just flung himself on the bed and fell sound asleep like a little boy, not a care in the world. Oh, I can breathe again. I was afraid he'd want to fiddle through the entire Brahms G major sonata. Poor Nurse Straub, simply frightful. She was such a neat, pretty little thing.
I've discovered something.
Congratulations.
Newton thinks he is really Einstein.
That's what he tells everybody, but in fact he really believes he is Newton.
Are you sure?
It is I who decide who my patients think they are. I know them far better than they know themselves.
Maybe so. In that case, you should cooperate with us, Fräulein Doctor. The authorities are complaining.
The public prosecutor?
Fuming.
As if it were my business, Inspector.
But two murders.
Please, Inspector.
Two accidents in 3 months. You must admit that the safety precautions in your establishment would seem inadequate.
What sort of safety precautions have you in mind, Inspector? I am the director of a medical establishment, not a reformatory. One can't very well lock up murderers before they've committed their murders, can one?
It's not a question of murderers, but of madmen, and they can commit murders at any time.
So can the same, and significantly a lot more often. Must we start putting the mentally sick into solitary confinement again, hanging them up in nets with boxing gloves on as they used to, as if we were still unable to distinguish between dangerous patients and harmless ones?
You weren't much good at distinguishing between them in the cases of Beutler and Ernesti.
Unfortunately, no. That's what disturbs me, not the fuming of your public prosecutor.
I just woke up.
Oh, Professor!
Did I play well?
Beautifully, Professor.
What about Nurse Irene? Is she...
Don't give it another thought, Professor.
I'm going back to bed.
Yes, do, well, Professor.
So that was him?
Yes. Ernst Heinrich Ernesti.
The murderer?
Please, Inspector.
I mean the assailant. The one who thinks he's Einstein. When was he brought in?
2 years ago.
And Sir Isaac Newton?
1 year ago. Both incurable. Look here, Boss. I'm no beginner. God knows at this job. You know that. And so does the public prosecutor. He's always respected my professional opinion. My sanatorium is world famous, and the fees are correspondingly high. Errors of judgment and incidents that bring the police into my house are luxuries I cannot afford. If anything was to blame here, it was medical science, not me. These incidents could not have been foreseen. You or I would be just as likely to strangle a nurse.
How many patients have you in this wing now?
3.
Only 3? And what about the third patient?
He's also a physicist.
Well, that's extraordinary, don't you think so?
Oh, sure. I put them all together. The writers with the writers, the big industrialists with the big industrialists, the millionaires with the millionaires, and the physicists with the physicists.
What's his name?
Johann Wilhelm Möbius.
Mightn't he also, perhaps...
He's been here 15 years. He's harmless. His condition has never changed.
Dr. von Sant, you can't get away with it like that. The public prosecutor insists that your physicists have male attendants.
They shall have them.
Good.
Matron?
I'm glad you see it that way. This is the second visit I have paid to Les Cerisiers, Doctor. I hope I shan't have to put in a third appearance. Goodbye.
Matron. Yes, Doctor. Has Frau Möbius arrived? She's waiting in the green drawing room. Send her in.
But, Dr. von Sant...
Thank you, Matron. Thank you.
Male nurses, indeed. Male nurses, indeed.
My dear Frau Möbius.
Frau Rosa. It must be an awful surprise to you, Fräulein Doctor, but 3 weeks ago I married Herr Rosa, who is a missionary. It was perhaps rather sudden. We met in September at a missionary convention. Oscar was a widower.
Congratulations, Frau Rosa. Heartiest congratulations. And my best wishes to you too, Herr Rosa.
Thank you.
You do understand why we took the step.
But of course, Frau Rosa. Life must continue to bloom and flourish.
How peaceful it is here. What a friendly atmosphere. Truly a divine peace reigns over this house. For the Lord heareth the needy and despiseth not...
Oscar is such a good creature, Fräulein Doctor. And these are my boys.
Good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Doctor, I have brought my boys with me for a very good reason. Oscar is taking over a mission in the Marianas.
The Marianas?
In the Pacific Ocean.
I thought it only proper that my boys should make their father's acquaintance before our departure. This will be their one and only opportunity. They were still quite small when he fell ill. And now perhaps they will be saying goodbye forever.
Frau Rosa, as a doctor, I would say that there might be objections. But as a human being, I can understand your wish and gladly give my consent to a family reunion.
And how is my dear little Johann Wilhelm?
Our dear old Möbius shows signs neither of improvement nor of relapse, Frau Rosa. He's spinning his own little cocoon.
Does he still claim to see King Solomon?
Yes.
A sad and deplorable delusion.
Your harsh judgment surprises me somewhat, Herr Missionary. As a theologian, you must surely reckon with the possibility of a miracle.
Oh, of course. But not in the case of someone mentally sick.
Whether the manifestations perceived by the mentally sick are real or not is something which psychiatry is not competent to judge.
Does he know that does he know about the divorce?
He has been told the facts.
Did he understand?
Oh, he takes hardly any interest in the outside world anymore.
Fräulein Doctor, try to understand my position. I am 5 years older than Johann Wilhelm. I first met him when he was a 15-year-old schoolboy in my father's house, where he rented an attic room.
Oh.
He was an orphan, wretchedly poor. Mm-hmm. I helped him through high school and later made it possible for him to read physics at the university. He got married on his 20th birthday against my parents' wishes. We worked day and night. He was writing his dissertation, and I took a job with a transport company.
Oh.
4 years later, we had our eldest boy, Adolf Friedrich. Finally, there were prospects of his obtaining a professorship. We thought we could begin to relax at last.
Mm-hmm.
But then Johann Wilhelm fell ill, and his illness swallowed up immense sums of money.
Mm.
For years, I worked my fingers to bone.
Frau Rosa, you are a brave woman.
And a good mother.
Mm.
Fräulein Doctor, until now, I have made it possible for Johann Wilhelm to stay in your establishment. The fees are far beyond my means, but God came to my help time and time again.
Amen.
All the same, I am now, financially speaking, at the end of my tether. I simply cannot raise the money.
Oh, that's understandable, Frau Rosa.
I'm afraid now you'll think I married Oscar so as to get out of providing for Johann Wilhelm, but that is not so. Things will be even more difficult for me now. Oscar brings me 6 sons from his former marriage.
Six?
Six.
Six. Oscar is a most zealous father, but now there are 8 boys to feed, and Oscar is by no means robust. And salary is not high.
Now, come now, Frau Rosa. You mustn't. Now, don't cry.
I reproach myself bitterly for having left my poor little Johann Wilhelm in the lurch.
Frau Rosa, you have no need to reproach yourself.
My poor little Johann Wilhelm will have to go into a state institution now.
No, he won't, Frau Rosa. Our dear old Mobius will stay on here at the villa. There are such things as grants and bequests. Money's as thick as fuck around here, and it's my duty as his doctor to pitchfork some of it in the direction of your dear little Johann Wilhelm. You can steam off to the Marianas with a clear conscience. But now, let us have a word with Mobius himself. Our dear, good old Mobius. Dear Mobius. Oh, you have visitors. Now, leave your physicist's lair for a moment and come in here.
Johann
Wilhelm. Happy. My dear Mobius, you're not going to tell me you don't recognize your wife?
Lena?
That's better, Mobius. Of course it's Lena.
Hello, Lena.
My little Johann Wilhelm. My dear, dear little Johann Wilhelm.
There we are now. Rosa, Herr Rosa, if you have anything else to tell me, I shall be at your disposal. You
wait. Oh, thank you, Doctor. These are your sons, Johann Wilhelm.
Two?
Of course, Johann Wilhelm. Two. Adolf Friedrich, your eldest.
How do you do, Adolf Friedrich, my eldest?
How do you do, Pape?
How old are you, Adolf Friedrich?
16, Pape.
What do you want to be?
A minister, Pape.
Ah, I remember now. We were walking across St. Joseph's Square. I was holding your hand. The sun was shining brightly, and the shadows were carved by compasses. And you? You are...
Well, this is your youngest boy, Jörg Lukács, 14.
How do you do, Pape?
How do you do, Jörg Lukács, my youngest?
He is the one who takes after you most.
I want to be a physicist, Pape.
Oh. You mustn't, Jörg Lukács. Not under any circumstances. You get that idea right out of your head. I forbid it.
But you became a physicist yourself, Pape.
I should never have been one, Jörg Lukács. Never.
Oh.
I wouldn't be in the madhouse now.
But Johann Wilhelm, that's not right. This is a sanatorium, not a madhouse. You're having a little trouble with your nerves, that's all.
No, Lena. People say I am mad. Everybody, even you, and my boys, too. Because King Solomon appears to me.
Let me introduce Oscar Rosa to you, Johann Wilhelm. He is my husband. A missionary.
Your husband? But I am your husband.
Well, not anymore, my little Johann Wilhelm. We're divorced. You know?
Divorced?
Now you know that, surely.
No.
Dr. Von Zahn told you, of course she did.
Possibly.
And then I married Oscar. He has 6 boys of his own. He was a minister at Guttingen, and now he's been given a post in the Marianas.
In the Marianas?
In the Pacific Ocean.
We're joining the ship at Bremen tomorrow.
I see.
Yes. That's right.
I'm glad to make the acquaintance of my boy's new father.
I have taken them to my bosom, Herr Mobius. God will provide. As the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd.
Oscar knows all the psalms off my heart. No, the psalms of David, the psalms of Solomon.
Fair missionary, I have met Solomon face to face. He is no longer the great golden king who sang of the Shulamite and of the two young roes that are twins which feed among the roses. He has cast away his purple robe. Now, here in my room, he crouches, naked and stinking, the pauper king of truth, and his psalms are horrible. Listen carefully, Herr Missionary. We shagged off into outer space, to the deserts of the moon, foundered in her dust. Right from the start, there was plenty that soundlessly shot their bolts out there. But most of them, cooked in the lead fumes of Mercury, were wiped out in the oil swamps of Venus, and even on Mars were wolfed by the sun, thundering, radioactive, yellow. Jupiter stank, an arrow-swift rotary methane mash. He, the Almighty, slung over us till we spewed our guts over Ganymede. And now, get yourselves off to the Marianas. Get yourselves away, and quick about it. Off to the Marianas, the whole pack of you. Away with you. Get out.
Now, just a minute.
Get out, will you? For good and all. Off to the Pacific with a lot of you. I never want to set eyes on you again. You have insulted King Solomon. May you be damned forever. May you and your entire Marianas sink and drown in the Mariana Deep, 4,000 fathoms down. May you sink and rot in the blackest hole of the sea, forgotten by God and man.
We're alone now. Your family can't hear you anymore.
Ah, yes. Of course. Was I a bit violent?
Somewhat.
I got worked up.
Obviously.
I had to speak the truth.
You were putting it on.
So, you saw through me.
I've been looking after you for 2 years now.
All right. I admit, I was just pretending to be mad.
Why?
So that I could say goodbye to my wife and sons. Forever.
But why in such a dreadful way?
Oh, no. It was a humane way. If you're in a madhouse already, the only way to get rid of the past is to behave like a madman. Now they can forget me with a clear conscience. My performance cured them of ever wanting to see me again. Everything is in order.
You had it all planned.
I am a physicist.
Herr Mobius.
Yes, nurse?
I have something to tell you.
Well?
It concerns us both.
Let's sit down.
We must say goodbye to one another, too. And forever.
Are you leaving me?
Orders.
Why?
I'm being transferred to the main building.
Because of Newton and Einstein?
At the request of the public prosecutor.
Nurse Monica, I don't know what to say. I've forgotten how to express my feelings. Talking shop with the two sick men I live with can hardly be called conversation. I'm afraid that I may have dried up inside as well. Yet, you ought to know that for me, everything has been different since I got to know you. Because through you, Nurse Monica, I have found the courage to accept being shut away. To accept the fate of being a madman. Goodbye.
Herr Mobius, I don't think you are mad.
Neither do I. But that doesn't alter my position in any way. It's my misfortune that King Solomon keeps appearing to me. And in the realm of science, there is nothing more repugnant than a miracle.
Herr Mobius, I believe in this miracle.
You believe in it?
I believe in King Solomon.
And that he appears to me?
That he appears to you.
Day in, day out?
Day in, day out.
And you believe that he dictates the secrets of nature to me? How all things connect? The principle of universal discovery?
I do. I simply know you are not sick.
Nurse Monica, get out of here.
I'm staying.
I never want to see you again.
You need me. Apart from me, you have no one left in all the world. Not one single person.
It's fatal to believe in King Solomon.
I love you.
Oh, I love you too. That is why you're in danger. Because we love one another.
I woke up again. I suddenly remembered.
Now, Herr Professor.
I strangled Nurse Irene.
Oh, try not to think about it, Herr Professor.
Shall I ever again be able to touch my violin with these hands?
You were playing just now.
Well, I hope.
The Kreutzer Sonata.
The Kreutzer. Well, thank God for that. All the same, I don't like playing the fiddle.
Then give it up.
I can't do that. Not if I'm Albert Einstein. you two in love?
We are in love.
Nurse Irene and I were in love, too. Then I strangled her. Oh, poor Nurse Irene.
Monica, listen. I must send you away.
But don't you feel any love for me at all?
I love you, Monica. Good God, I love you. That's what's mad.
And why do you betray me? Listen, I've spoken to Fräulein Dr. von Sand.
You spoke to her?
You are free.
Free?
We can get married.
Oh, God!
Fräulein Dr. von Sand has arranged everything. Of course, she still considers you a sick man, but not dangerous. And it's not a hereditary sickness. She said she was madder than you, and she laughed.
That was good of her.
She's a great woman.
Indeed.
Isn't it wonderful?
Indeed, yes.
You don't sound very happy.
It's all happened so quickly.
Oh, Johann Wilhelm, we mustn't think just of ourselves. You are a chosen being. King Solomon appeared to you, revealed himself in all his glory, and confided in you the wisdom of the heavens. Now you have to take the way ordained by that miracle, turning neither to left nor right, even if that way leads through mockery and laughter, through disbelief and doubt. But the way leads out of this asylum, Johann Wilhelm. It leads into the outside world, not into loneliness. It leads into battle. I am here to help you, to fight at your side. Heaven that sent you, King Solomon, sent me, too. Dearest.
Yes, dear?
Aren't you happy?
Very.
You have tears in your eyes.
So have you.
Tears of happiness.
What's happened?
I've just strangled Nurse Monica.
Einstein's at it again. Chrysler. Humoresque.
What was the nurse's name?
Monica Stettler.
Age?
25.
Any relatives?
None. Would you like to have the murderer brought in?
Please, Fräulein Doctor.
I mean, the assailant.
I don't think so.
Oh, but surely, Inspector.
Fräulein Dr. von Sand, I'm doing my duty, taking down evidence, examining the corpse, having it photographed, and getting the police doctor's opinion, but I do not wish to examine Mobius. I leave him to you, along with the other radioactive physicists.
And the public prosecutor?
No, he's past being angry now. He's just brooding.
This third murder...
Please, Fräulein Doctor.
Dinner. All the dear good patients, Fräulein Doctor.
My God, I don't believe... You're Uwe Zevers.
Correct, Herr Inspector. Uwe Zevers. Former European heavyweight boxing champion. Now chief male attendant at Les Oisiers.
And these two other bruisers?
Murillo, South American champion, also heavyweight. And McCarver, North American middleweight.
And what are the dear good patients having for dinner?
Liver and dumpling soup.
Poulet à la broche, ville coton bleu.
Fantastic.
First class.
I am a mere 14th class official. Plain cooking is all we can run to in my home.
Voila, Doctor. Dinner is served.
Thank you, Zevers. The patients will help themselves.
Herr Inspector, glad to have made your acquaintance.
Well, I'm done.
Satisfied?
Envious. If we had them with the police...
Oh, their wages are astronomical.
Those fellows will finally set the public prosecutor's mind at rest. They wouldn't let anyone slip through their fingers. Oh. And there's Einstein at it again.
Oh, Monica, my beloved.
Mobius. Oh. How could you, Monica, do it? You have killed my best nurse, my sweetest nurse.
I'm sorry, Fräulein Doctor.
Sorry?
King Solomon ordained it.
King Solomon? So it was his Majesty who arranged the murder.
I was standing at the window, staring out into the falling dusk. Then the king floated up out of the park, over the terrace, and came right up to me and whispered his commands to me through the window pane.
Yes. Inspector, please express my profound regret to the public prosecutor for the incidents which have taken place in my sanatorium.
Of course.
And kindly assure him that everything is now well in hand again. Gentlemen, it was a pleasure.
Monica. Monica, my love. Head Inspector, I must ask you to arrest me.
But what for, my dear Mobius?
Well, after all, Nurse Monica...
You yourself admitted that you acted under the orders of King Solomon. As long as I am unable to arrest him, you are a free man.
All the same...
There's no question of all the same. You see, it's like this. See, every year in this small town and the surrounding district, I arrest a few murderers. Not many, a bare half dozen. Now, some of these it gives me great pleasure to apprehend. Others I feel sorry for. All the same, I have to arrest them. Justice is justice. But now... All at once, I'm enjoying myself. I could shout with joy. I have discovered three murderers whom I can, with an easy conscience, leave unmolested. For the first time in my life, justice is on holiday. And it's a terrific feeling. Justice, my friend, is a terrible strain. You wear yourself out in its service, both physically and morally. I need a breathing space, that's all. Goodbye. Oh, give my kindest regards to Einstein and Newton.
Certainly, Herr Inspector.
And my respects to King Solomon.
Very well, Herr Inspector.
What's cooking? Liver and dumpling soup, poulet à la broche, veal cordon bleu. It's extraordinary. We usually only have a light supper in the evenings, and a very modest one. Ever since the other patients were moved into the new building. You lost your appetite? Well, I quite understand. I lost mine, too, after my nurse.
Oh, Monica, my love.
No, stay here.
Sir Isaac?
I have something to say to you, Mobius.
Well?
Wouldn't you like to try just a spoonful of the liver and dumpling soup? It's excellent.
No.
Mobius, we are no longer being lovingly tended by nurses. We are being guarded by male attendants, great hefty fellows.
That's of no consequence.
That's not to you, Mobius. It's obvious you really want to spend the rest of your days in a madhouse, but it is of some consequence to me. The fact is, I want to get out of here. Now for the poulet à la broche. These new attendants have compelled me to act straight away.
That's your affair.
Not altogether. A confession, Mobius. I am not mad.
But of course not, Sir Isaac.
I am not Sir Isaac Newton.
I know. Albert Einstein.
No, fiddlesticks. Nor am I Herbert Georg Beutler, as they seem to think here. My real name, my dear boy, is Kilton.
Alex Jasper Kilton.
Correct.
The author of The Theory of Equivalence.
The very same.
So you wangled your way in here.
By pretending to be mad.
In order to... spy on me.
In order to get to the root of your madness. My immaculate German was acquired in our intelligence service. A frightful grind.
And because poor Nurse Dorothea stumbled on the truth, you...
Yes. I am most extraordinarily sorry about the whole thing.
I understand.
Orders are orders.
Of course.
I couldn't do anything else.
Naturally.
My whole mission hung in the balance. The most secret undertaking of our secret service. I had to kill... if I wanted to avert suspicion. Nurse Dorothea no longer considered me to be demented. Fräulein Dr. von Zantz thought I was only slightly touched. So to prove my total insanity, I had to commit a murder. I say this poulet à la broche is simply superb.
No, Einstein's at it again.
Oh, God, that Bach-Gavotte.
His dinner's getting cold.
No. Let the old idiot get on with his fiddling.
Is that a threat?
I have the most immeasurable respect for you. It would grieve me to have to take violent steps.
So your mission is to abduct me?
Yes. If the suspicions of our intelligence service prove correct.
And what would they be?
Our intelligence happens to consider you to be the greatest genius amongst present-day physicists.
I'm a man whose nerves are sick, Kilton, that's all.
Our intelligence service has other ideas on the subject.
And what is your opinion?
Well, I simply consider you to be the greatest physicist of all time.
And how did your intelligence service get on my trail?
Through me. Quite by chance, I read your dissertation on the foundations of a new concept of physics. First, I thought it was a practical joke. And then, the scales seemed to fall from my eyes. I realized that I was reading the greatest work of genius in the history of physics. I began to make inquiries about its author, but I made no progress.
You were not the only one who read that dissertation, Susan.
What?
As a matter of fact, I'm not mad either. May I introduce myself? I, too, am a physicist. A member of a certain intelligence service. A somewhat different one from yours, Kilton. My name is Joseph Eisler.
The discoverer of the Eisler effect.
The very same.
Disappeared in 1950.
Of my own free will.
Oh,
Kilton, you've messed up all my plans. I thought you really were mad.
Well, never mind. I thought you were.
Things kept going wrong. Oh, that business with Nurse Irene, for example, this afternoon. She was getting suspicious, and so she signed her own death warrant. I'm most extraordinarily sorry about the whole thing.
I understand.
Orders are orders.
Of course.
What else could I do?
Naturally.
My whole mission hung in the balance. It, too, was the most secret undertaking of our secret service.
Mm.
But let's eat.
Oh, yes, let's eat.
Eisler, I presume that you, too, want to compel me to...
Mobius.
Want to persuade me to visit your country.
We also consider you to be the greatest physicist of all time, but just at the moment, all I'm interested in is my dinner.
Mm.
Oh, it's a real gallows feast.
Yes.
Still no appetite, Mobius?
Yes, it's suddenly come back. Now that you've both got to the bottom of things.
Burgundy, Mobius.
Go ahead.
I'll open fire on the cordon bleu. What?
Make yourselves perfectly at home.
Well, bon appétit.
Bon appétit.
Bon appétit.
Try this.
That's excellent.
Patient Voidler.
Here.
Patient Ernesti.
Here.
Patient Mobius.
Here.
Head Nurse Seepers. Nurse Murillo. Nurse MacArthur.
Oh, yeah.
On the recommendation of the authorities, certain security measures are to be observed. Grills.
Oh God.
Lock up.
Oh, no.
Have the gentlemen any further requests before retiring for the night? Patient Boitler.
No.
Patient Ernesti.
No.
Patient Mobius.
No.
Gentlemen, we take our leave. Good night.
Oh, monsters.
They've got more of the brutes lurking in the park.
I've been watching them from my window for some time.
They put a grill over my window. Same for Eisler and Mobius. It's locked.
Prisoners.
Well, it's logical, what with our nurses and everything.
But we'll never get out of here now unless we act together.
I do not wish to escape.
Mobius?
I see no reason for it at all. On the contrary, I am quite satisfied with my fate.
But I'm not satisfied with it. Look, Mobius, with all respect to your personal feelings, you're a genius and therefore common property. You may have mapped out new directions in physics, but you haven't got a monopoly of knowledge. It is your duty to open the doors to us non-geniuses. Come on out. Within a year, we'll have you in a top hat, white tie and tails. We'll fly you off to Stockholm and give you the Nobel Prize.
Your intelligence service is very altruistic.
I don't mind telling you, Mobius. They have a suspicion that you've solved the problem of gravitation.
I have.
But you say that as if it were nothing.
How else should I say it?
But our intelligence service believed you would discover the unitary theory of elementary particles.
Then I can set their minds at rest as well. I have discovered it.
The basic formula? It's ludicrous. We have hordes of highly paid physicists and gigantic state-supported laboratories working for years and years and years, vainly trying to make some progress in the realm of physics, while you do it quite casually at your desk in this madhouse.
What about the principle of universal discovery?
Yes, something on those lines. I did it out of curiosity, as a practical corollary to my theoretical investigations. But why play the innocent? We have to face the consequences of our scientific thinking. The result is devastating.
It's
new and inconceivable forces would be unleashed, making possible a technical advance which would transcend the wildest flights of fantasy if my findings were to fall into the hands of mankind.
And that can scarcely be avoided. The only question is, who's going to get at them first?
Hmm? You'd like that for your own intelligence service, wouldn't you, Kilton? And the military machine behind it.
Well, why not? It's nothing more or less than a question of the freedom of scientific knowledge. Doesn't matter who guarantees that freedom. I give my services to any system, providing that system leaves me alone. You talk about our moral responsibility. We suddenly find ourselves confronted with our own fears and we have a fit of morality. Well, that is nonsense. We have far-reaching, pioneering work to do, and that's all that should concern us.
Admittedly.
Whether or not humanity has the wit to follow the new trails we're blazing is its own lookout and not ours.
Admittedly, we have pioneer work to do. I believe that, too.
Yes.
But all the same, we cannot escape our responsibilities.
No.
Now, if we are physicists, then we must become power politicians. We must decide in whose favor we shall apply our knowledge. And I, for one, have made my decision.
Yes.
Whereas you, Kilton, are nothing but a lamentable beast.
Oh, what do you...
But, I mean, if you feel so strongly about the freedom of knowledge...
Yes.
Why don't you come over to our side? Our political system, too, must eat out of the scientist's hands.
Both our political systems, Chrysler, must now eat out of Mobius's hands.
On the contrary... He must do what we tell him. We have finally got him in check. He may well be the most important man in the world. But his manuscripts are more important still.
Look, I don't...
My manuscripts? I burnt them.
Burnt them?
I had to. Before the police came back. So as not to be found out.
Burnt? 15 years' work?
I shall go mad! I shall... Go mad.
Well, officially, you are.
Oh, we played right into your hand, Mobius.
To think that for this I had to strangle a nurse and learn German.
And I had to learn the fiddle. It was torture for someone like me with no ear for music. Shall we go on with dinner?
Oh, God, I've lost my appetite.
Yeah, pity. Chicken looked good. Here we are. Three physicists. The decision we have to make is one that we must make as physicists. We must go about it, therefore, in a scientific manner. The basic facts are clear.
What?
All three of us have the same end in view, but our tactics differ. Hmm. Our aim is the advancement of physics. You, Kilton,
yes,
want to preserve the freedom of that science and argue that it has no responsibility but to itself.
Right.
On the other hand, you, Eisler, see physics as responsible to the power politics of one particular country.
Right, right. Hmm.
What is the real position now? That's what I must know if I have to make a decision.
Some of the world's most famous physicists are waiting to welcome you. The climate is murderous, but the air conditioning is excellent.
But are these physicists free men?
My dear Mobius, these physicists declare they're ready to solve scientific problems which are decisive for the defense of the country. Therefore, you have to understand...
So, they are not free. Joseph Eisler, your line is power politics, but that requires power. Have you got it?
You misunderstand me, Mobius. My political power, to be precise, lies in the fact that I have renounced power in favor of a political party.
Would you be able to persuade that party to take on your responsibility? Or is there a risk of that party persuading you?
No, Mobius, that's ridiculous. Look, I can only hope that the party will follow my recommendations, nothing more. In any case, without hope...
Are your physicists free, at least?
Well, naturally, they too are needed for the defense of the country.
Extraordinary. Each of you is trying to palm off a different theory, yet the reality you offer me is the same in both cases.
What?
A prison. I prefer the madhouse. Here, at least, I feel safe from the exactions of power politicians.
But after all, one must take certain risks.
There are certain risks which one may not take. The destruction of humanity is one. We know what the world has done with the weapons it already possesses. We can imagine what it would do with those which my researches make possible. And it is these considerations that have governed my conduct. I was poor. I had a wife and two children. Fame beckoned from the university. Industry tempted me with money. Both courses were too dangerous. I should have had to publish the results of my researches, and the consequences would have been the complete overthrow of all scientific knowledge and the breakdown of the structure of our society. A sense of responsibility compelled me to choose another course. I threw up my academic career, said no to industry, and abandoned my family to its fate. I took on the fool's cap and bells. I let it be known that King Solomon kept appearing to me, and before long, I was clapped in a madhouse.
But that couldn't solve anything.
Reason demanded the taking of this step. In the realm of knowledge, we have reached the farthest frontiers of perception. But humanity has not yet got as far as that. We have encountered a void. Our knowledge has become a frightening burden. Our researches are perilous. Our discoveries lethal. We have to take back our knowledge. And I have taken it back. There is no other way out. And that goes for you as well.
What do you mean by that?
You must stay with me. Here, in the madhouse.
What?
Us. Both of you.
But Mobius, surely you can't expect us to, for the rest of our days.
Only in the madhouse can we be free. Only in the madhouse can we think our own thoughts. Outside, they would be dynamite.
But damn it all, we're not mad.
But we are murderers.
I resent that.
You shouldn't have said that, Mobius.
Anyone who takes life is a murderer, and we have taken life. Each of us came to this establishment for a definite purpose. Each of us killed his nurse, again, for a definite purpose. You two did it so as not to endanger the outcome of your secret mission. And I, because Nurse Monica believed in me. She thought I was an unrecognized genius. She didn't realize that today is the duty of a genius to remain unrecognized. Killing is a terrible thing. Are those murders we committed to stand for nothing? Either they are sacrificial killings, or just plain murders. Either we stay in this madhouse, or the world becomes one. Either we wipe ourselves out of the memory of mankind, or mankind wipes itself out.
Mobius.
Kilton.
This place, these ghastly male attendants, that hunchback of a doctor.
Well?
We're caged in, like wild beasts.
We are wild beasts. We ought not to be let loose on humanity.
Is there really no other way out?
None.
Johann Wilhelm Mobius, I'm a man of integrity. I'm staying. I'm staying, too. Forever.
Thank you. Thank you for leaving the world this faint chance of survival. To our nurses.
I drink to Dorothea Moser.
Nurse Dorothea. To Nurse Dorothea.
Dorothea, you had to be sacrificed. In return for your love, I gave you death. Now I want to prove myself worthy of you.
I drink to Irene Straub. To Nurse
Irene.
Irene, yes.
Irene, you had to be sacrificed. As a tribute to your memory and your devotion, I'm now going to behave like a rational human being.
I drink to Monica Stettler.
To Monica?
Nurse Monica.
Yes.
Nurse Monica. Monica, you had to be sacrificed. May your love bless the friendship which we three have formed in your name. Mm-hmm. Give us the strength to be fools, that we may guard faithfully the secret of our knowledge.
Well, let us be changed to madmen once again. For on the shade of Newton, let us once again scrape away at Chrysler and Beethoven.
Let King Solomon appear before us once again.
Let us be mad, but wise. Prisoners, but free.
Physicists, but innocent.
Gentlemen, your conversation was overheard. I had had my suspicions for a long time.
It's funny.
I don't know.
It's too funny.
Leave us the searchlight.
Okay, Paul.
The villa is surrounded by guards. Any attempt to escape would be useless. You three, get out.
Okay, Paul.
You alone shall hear my secret. You alone among men. Because it doesn't matter any longer whether you know or not. He has appeared to me also. Solomon, the Golden King.
Solomon.
This many a long year. The first time was in my study one summer evening. Outside, the sun was still shining and a woodpecker was hammering away somewhere in the park. Then, the Golden King came floating towards me like a tremendous angel. His gaze came to rest upon me. His lips parted. He began to converse. with his handmaiden. He had arisen from the dead. He desired to take upon himself again the power that once belonged to him here below. He had unveiled his wisdom that Mobius might reign on earth in his name.
She must be locked up. She should be in a madhouse.
But Mobius betrayed him. He tried to keep secret what could not be kept secret. And so he deceived Neok, his unworthy handmaiden.
You are mad. Do you hear? You are mad.
He did command me to cast down Mobius and to reign in his place. I hearkened unto his commands. I was a doctor, and Mobius, my patient, I could do with him whatever I liked. Year in, year out, I fogged his brain and made photocopies of the Golden King's proclamation down to the last page.
You're stark raving mad. Get that clear once and for all.
Well,
I went cautiously about my work. At first, I exploited only two or three discoveries in order to rake in the necessary capital. Then I founded enormous plants and factories, one after the other. I've created a giant cartel. I shall expose to the full, gentlemen, the principle of universal discovery.
Fräulein Dr. Mathilde von Funk, you are sick. Solomon does not exist. He never appeared to me.
Liar!
I only pretended to see him in order to keep my discovery secret.
You deny him!
Oh, do be reasonable. Don't you see you're mad?
I'm no more mad than you.
Then I must shout the truth to the whole world.
You are powerless, Mobius. Even if your voice were to reach the outside world, nobody would believe you because of the public at large. You are nothing but a dangerous lunatic. By the murder you committed.
Monica.
Irene. Dorothea.
There's no point in attacking me, Mobius. Just as there was no point in burning manuscripts, which I already possessed in duplicate. You have taken refuge in a prison you have built for yourselves. Solomon thought through you. He acted through you. And now he destroys you through me. But I am taking his power upon myself. I have no fear. I am barren. I can love no one. Only humanity. And so King Solomon took pity on me. He, with his 1,000 brides, chose me. Now I shall be mightier than my forefathers. My cartel will dictate in each country, each continent. It all adds up, and the answer comes out in favor not of the world, but of an old, hunchbacked spinster. I must go, Zeebus. The Board of Trustees is waiting. Today we go into worldwide operation. The assembly lines are rolling.
It is all over.
The world has fallen into the hands of an insane female psychiatrist.
What was once thought can never be unthought.
I am Newton. Sir Isaac Newton. Born the 4th of January, 1643, at Woolsthorpe, near Grantham. I am the president of the Royal Society. I wrote the mathematical principles of natural philosophy. I said, hypotheses non fingo. I do not invent hypotheses. In the fields of experimental optics, theoretical mechanics and higher mathematics, my achievements are not without importance. I also wrote theological works, commentaries on the prophet Daniel and on the revelation of St. John the Divine. I am Newton, Sir Isaac Newton. I am the president of the Royal Society.
I am Einstein. Professor Albert Einstein, born the 14th of March, 1879, at Ulm.
In 1902, I propounded my special theory of relativity, which changed our whole concept of physics. Later, I became a refugee because I am a Jew. It was I who evolved the formula E equals MC squared, the key to the transformation of matter and energy. I love my fellow men, and I love my violin. But it was on my recommendation they built the atomic bomb. I'm Einstein, Professor Albert Einstein, born 14th of March, 1879, at Ulm.
I am poor King Solomon. Once, I was immeasurably rich, wise, and God-fearing. The mighty trembled at my word. I was a prince of peace, a prince of justice. But my wisdom destroyed the fear of God. And when I no longer feared God, my wisdom destroyed my wealth. Now, the cities over which I ruled are dead. The kingdom that was given into my keeping is deserted. Only a blue, shimmering wilderness. And somewhere, round a small, yellow, nameless star, there circles pointlessly, everlastingly, the radioactive Earth. I am Solomon. I am Solomon. I am Solomon. I am poor King Solomon.
Physicists by Friedrich Dürrenmatt, translated by James Kirkup. Mobius was played by Nicholas Grace. Newton by John Shrapnel. And Einstein by Jonathan Cecil. The Doctor was played by Sean Phillips. Inspector Voss by Brett Usher. Frau Rosa by Jenny Howe. And Monica by Petra Markham. Martha Ball was Maxine Audley. Oscar and MacArthur, Ronald Herdman. Uber Sievers, Timothy Carlton. And the parts of Adolf Friedrich and Murillo were played by Andrew Wincott. The music was by Richard Heacock. Technical presentation was by Graham Harper, and the production assistant was Joanne Hopper. The Physicists was adapted and directed for BBC World Service Drama by Hilary Norrish.